It's just my athletic supporter, he whispers. Oh. But who knows what's underneath it? Could be just as firm, he says in that low, deep voice. I scoff. I don't want to know what you have going on down there. He finally releases me and then beams down and pinches my chin. Is this whipped enough for you? He turns up the volume so everyone can hear. Sweetie pie? I smile through my teeth. Hang it on a little thick there, buddy. I just wanted you to know, he says loudly, that I saved you a seat right in the front. I want my sugar rump right there watching the game. I try not to crinkle my face, but I'm pretty sure I look like I've just swallowed a bee or cockroach. Gee, thanks, muffin nuts, I growl loudly with a smile. Muffin nuts, he scowls. You can't help that they're all squishy from getting tackled all the time. I look to my side at some fans who are gawking as they pass and have clearly heard what I just said. Like ripe avocados. Poor guy, I tell him to wear a cup, but... Okay, Tassie, point taken, he says. So, see you during the game. Your seat is right next to Jennifer. Just look for the girl with the pink hat in the group of pink shirts. Oh, great. He's got me sitting with the Gamma News. That's very thoughtful, Hunter. He looks at his watch. Oh, shit. I gotta go. He leans down and pecks me on the lips. Damn it! He got me again. Now I'll never be able to lie to myself and claim that my first kiss technically didn't come from Hunter because I didn't kiss him back. I can't use that excuse twice. Seems like a stretch. I continue holding on to my fake-as-hell smile. Score a goal for me! He frowns and then jerks his head.
Sure. Goal for you, babe.
And then disappears inside the stadium. I immediately realize I said goal, not touchdown, but he was nice enough not to sports talk shame me. I glance over at Lainey and Jessica, who've witnessed the little show of man-whippedness. They look like they've just observed a unicorn flying out of the sky or some other impossible crap. This time, I grin for real and then shrug at them. They both glare and return behind the counter to fill orders. Me? I'm happy as hell, and my body's all lit up with tingles and adrenaline, clearly because Hunter came through for me. The feeling melts away as I realize that I'm up next and have to act like I want to give it up to Mr. Football. I'm not exactly sure how to do that. Oh, I'll figure it out. Chapter 10. As soon as the game starts, the crowds around the concession area thin out, so I go inside to watch the game until halftime. I make my way to the pink section, where 50-some-odd gammas are cheering and waving their Hunt Pirates flags over something happening on the field. The rest of the gammas are down in the action on cheerleading duty. My eyes scan the front row of Pink Town, and I see a blonde girl in a pink hat. That must be Jennifer. I make my way over, scooching by, careful not to spill beers or step on toes. Hi, are you Jennifer? Her brown eyes look me over, mostly dragging over my shirt. Oh, you're Hunter's little friend, the tricap. Little friend? Yeah, I'm Tassie. Well, take a seat. She scoots over, creating a chain reaction of pink booties wiggling down the bench. Thank you. I'm immediately surprised by everyone's lack of snobbery. Any friend of Hunter's? She yells over the cheering crowd. That's B, by the way. She jerks her head toward the girl to my other side. Hi, nice to meet you, I say to B. Hey, Tri-Tip, welcome to the fun zone. It takes a moment to noodle out that she's merely trying to be friendly with the Tri-Tip comment. B immediately passes me a cold beer, and I reluctantly take the offering, not wanting to be rude. I don't drink, or at least I haven't drunk before, and I'm underage. Well, I suppose one sip won't hurt. I don't want to be impolite. I take a sip and want to spit out the bitter, fuzzy liquid. Instead, I force myself to swallow it down. Mmm, yummy, B makes a little laugh.
Not a beer girl, huh?
No, it's great. Thank you. I take a gulp to show my appreciation. Something happens on the field, and everyone stands and begins booing. I look over, and Hunter is no longer visible. Oh, shit! He has to be underneath the huge pile of bodies in the center of the field. I stand too, almost spilling my beer. Is he okay?
We hope so, says Jennifer. We're only 5 minutes into the game.
I can't breathe as I watch them peel the dogs off the dog pile, like layers of an onion. Please be okay. Please be okay. They remove the last guy, and there's Hunter lying face down in the mud, a football gripped tightly in his hands. He then stands up with the aid of a few teammates, and the crowd goes wild. I have no clue what just happened, other than my heart is pounding. My body is sweating. I think I just had my first panic attack. I take another chug of beer to cool myself off. Hunter looks my way for the briefest of moments, and I know he sees me, which is a bad thing, because I'm not saying I can't handle watching this barbarianism. Violence and celebrating birthdays are phobias for me. I just don't like them. The violence because my mother and father are pacifists and drilled certain anti-violence ideas into my head. That time in the 11th grade when I smacked Kurt Lippmann, for example, I don't even remember doing it. But I do remember feeling sick to my stomach and getting yelled at. So strange. As for my other phobia, birthdays, I simply don't like the idea of my body slowly degrading over the course of several decades. It's depressing. So I've got a strict rule about not celebrating my birthday, which is coming up in November. Not that I will give it any thought. In any case, I can't stay and watch Hunter get hurt. I don't like it. But I also don't like the idea of letting him down. I haven't held up my end of the deal yet. I start to think of options as the players on the field do that whole setup thing where they face each other and bend over. I close my eyes. I can't watch. The crowd is quiet, and then everyone goes crazy, woo-hooing and screaming, "Go Pirates!" Fuck, I have to look. I open my eyes just as Hunter snaps the ball toward another guy all the way on the other side of the field. There's no way the ball will get all the way there. It's impossible. But to my utter disbelief, that damned ball goes and goes and keeps on going until the guy on the other side snatches it from the air and then runs to the end. Everyone yells, "Touchdown!" Oh, that's a touchdown, huh? I mutter to myself, absent-mindedly sipping my disgusting beverage that seems to be growing on me. Our entire pink section stands up and starts chanting, "Hunt is on! Hunt is on!" I have to admit, I feel kind of good for him. I mean, these people, they love him. He's some sort of rock star in their minds. Still, I don't think I can stomach seeing him hurt again. And didn't they put out a movie about this sport, how it's really not good for the brain? I can't believe I'm so worried about him. Jennifer and me sit back down, and the cheering dies.
"That was so freaking awesome, right?" says Jennifer.
"Sure, awesome," I say. "So how do you know Hunter?" she asks. I'm not sure what he's told them, so I say something obvious. "He hates math, so I agreed to help him."
"Do you have a class together?"
No. I'm taking modeling and differential equations for the life sciences.
"Oh, I won't take that until my sophomore year, but I'm looking forward to it."
Have I entered a black hole and merged with an alternate universe once again?
Seriously? What's your major?
"Economics. I don't technically need that class, so it'll be an elective."
"Oh my god, me too. I'm a bioengineering major, but I think I might do a double degree depending on how things go."
"B is a double major. Marketing and economics."
"Really?"
I look at B, who shrugs.
"Couldn't make up my mind."
B looks back at the field.
"Go Pirates!"
I'm thoroughly shocked that these two Gamma Nus are so academically focused and nothing like their reputation. They're also pretty friendly, which is more than I can say for my sisterhood.
"So you're teetering the hunt, huh? What's that like?"
asks Jennifer, casually watching the players get set for the next
thingy. I really want to leave before I am subjected to watching these cement trucks in helmets park on top of Hunter again. I'm not exactly tutoring him, I say, but I am intending to sleep with him. Very soon. My first time, you know. Jennifer freezes and then starts busting up. B, too. Jennifer smacks my knee so hard that beer splashes down my leg. You're funny, Tri-Tip. Her laughter dies down when she realizes I'm not laughing with her. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what's so funny anyway. Wait, you're serious? She says. Yeah, why not? I shrug. I mean, I'm a red-blooded American girl, he's a horny guy, and who better to crack open the dam of promiscuity than the huntsman, the hunt, Mr. Big Dick himself? I smile politely and bat my eyelashes, hoping she'll buy my obscenities and then spread the news. Yes, for the record, I am absolutely dying of embarrassment on the inside. Well, sweetie, good luck with that. She turns to watch the game. I don't want to feel insulted, but I do. Why? You think I'm not pretty enough? What? She scoffs. No, you're totally adorable with your whole... She waves her hand over my body. Sexy hipster look. Sexy hipster? I'd been going for just good old-fashioned slut, but hey, sexy hipster sounds kind of cool. She continues. Anyway, I'm sure any guy here would jump you. But Hunt there is untouchable. Huh? What do you mean, untouchable? Does he have an STD? She laughs. I wouldn't know, but he's got someone back home. He won't even look at another girl, and trust me, we've all tried. Back at home? Who? I ask. Hell if I know, but she's one lucky girl. Okay, this has to be a lie. A complete lie. Because if he had a steady girlfriend back home, I'd know, wouldn't I? My mind shuffles back to Elle's comment regarding Hunter being in love. Then my brain starts throwing out all the facts to shoot down that theory. He's about as faithful as a honeybee. The more flowers, the better. Jennifer hands me a flag. Here, you'll need this. I take it and stare at the thing. Why? It's as close as any of us are ever going to get to action with Hunter. Suddenly, Elle's other comment flashes in my mind. I think he was into you. Big time. Shut the front door. I know her comments are ridiculous and unfounded. She doesn't know Jack. Or Jill. But the fucking kicker is that my heart goes into cardiac light, thumping out of control at the thought of him wanting me. I shoot from my seat, like I'm about to declare independence in a room full of oppressive aristocrats. I say there, old boy, you are out of order. We are free men, and free men we shall stay. Tassie, you okay? Asks Jennifer. I nod stiffly and try to choke down a non-existent crumb in my throat. Sure, super good. I have to... I point toward the concession area. Get ready for halftime cappuccinos. B raises a brow. You have at least another 15 minutes until halftime. Yeah, but... Jessica places her hand on my arm. Stay, Tassie. I know you tri-kappas hate us, but we're really not so bad. The sincerity in her eyes made me feel horrible. I don't want her to think I'm a hater, because I'm not. Am I? I sit down. I actually think Greek rivalry is pretty stupid. Jessica wraps an arm around me and squeezes. You're pretty smart for a tri-tip, Tassie. I finally managed to swallow that lump in my throat. Thanks. This is the first time in my life that I've ever felt so welcomed. Ever. And it kind of makes me want to cry. Here I'd hated them for judging me, only to discover I was the hater, assuming all sorts of things. Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought. At the very least, I'm lacking education. Education about people. This is a startling awakening, but the evidence is sitting right beside me. Two perfectly nice people I had no business judging or disliking. I have to wonder what else I'm underinformed about. I raise my plastic cup to Jessica and then B. Go Pirates! They smile in a way that makes me feel like they see me. They don't judge. And more importantly, they're real women with goals who know how to have fun. And like me, they don't have Hunter. Not that I want him. Just stating the obvious. Chapter 11. You really should come with me, Elle. The Gammas are nice. I mean, really nice, I say, pulling a short little summer dress with yellow and white flowers over my head. Thanks, but I'm not a big beer drinker, and we have a bio quiz tomorrow. That's the reason I'm not drinking and only going for an hour. Really, just long enough to put on a show for Hunter's frat buddies. They'll need to know I'm planning to let him mount the white pony, slay the V-dragon, crack the seal. Why do I keep coming up with this weird virginal slang? I suppose it helps make the topic more comfortable. In any case, once I show everyone that the big virgin is ready and willing to throw in the white towel, crap, I did it again, lose her virginity to Hunter, the rest will be up to him. He has to tell everyone that he slept with me. I quickly start thinking about the girl back home Jennifer mentioned. This can't be right. I'll have to talk to him. Sure you don't want to come for a little while? I say to Elle. We can laugh at the meatheads, say big words and watch them get confused. I joke. From her desk, which is pushed against the foot of her bed like mine, she sighs with frustration. Sounds entertaining, but I'm not in the mood. I suddenly realize that staying behind to study isn't the real reason she won't go. Is everything okay? I ask. Sure. She looks down at her notebook. Sure as in yes, or sure as in I don't want to talk about it? Both. I don't like that answer. I sit down on her bed so I can see her face. What happened? I don't want to talk about it, remember? It's got to be her mother. Something not good. Okay, but I'm here if you want to talk. She nods but doesn't reply. I want to help her. I want to say something that will make her feel better and know that she'll get through this. But what do I know? My mother isn't the one dying. Still, the thought of what Elle is going through makes me want to cry. Just full-on bawl right here. It's just too sad. No, that won't help her. She needs sympathy, not empathy. That's what my mother said once, when I asked her how she dealt with people dying on their trials. First, she explained that it's part of the work. Keep testing, keep reformulating, keep going until someday they stop dying. That's all that matters, Tass. We can't give up. Still, I knew from the look in her eyes that it pained her not to be able to save people yet. Her failure meant their deaths, which would be a heavy burden on anyone. Perhaps it's the reason I want to follow in her footsteps. I don't want her to have to suffer through this alone, and I don't want her to ever give up, so I want to be there to help. As for sympathy versus empathy, that was the second thing she told me about. Sympathy is filled with compassion, but keeps you strong so you can lift others when they're down. You keep your head on straight, but you still care. Empathy is dangerous. Their despair becomes your own, and you feel as though it's happening to you. You're of no use to anyone once you cross that line. Because someone needs to be there at the top of the mud pit, holding the rope, telling them to grab it and climb out. You can't do that if you jump inside with them. Regardless, I can't help feeling my feet slide down that muddy embankment, just a little. What Elle is going through, watching someone she loves die, is my worst nightmare. I blink away the threat of tears and take hold of the rope. Nope, nope, I'm not taking no for an answer. I stand up. You're taking a 1 hour mental vacation from your life. I grab her and start pulling. You need it, and it's only 4 o'clock. You'll have plenty of time to come back and study. She stays seated. I'm really not in the mood. I look down at her big brown eyes and messy blonde hair, trying to find the right words to get through to her. It's okay to live and smile a little, even though she's dying. Otherwise, you can't stay strong for her, I want to say, but those words are too harsh. I know, I say quietly, so she understands that I understand. She draws a deep breath. Fine, 1 hour. Yay! I let go of her hand and clap. I promise, at the very least, it will be entertaining. What is this event again? Keg run for narcolepsy? Or something like that? She shakes her head. Oh boy, sounds enlightening. Only if you check your IQ at the door. She chuckles. Didn't plan on bringing it anyway. There is no door to check our IQs at, we discover, as Elle and I arrive to the Alpha House and are immediately redirected by the signs to go to a park a few blocks over. Despite the sun setting, the September heat is sweltering today, and I'm praying they're serving ice-cold water. So, what exactly is a keg run? Asks Elle, as we follow the crowd toward an area of the park that's been blocked off with rope. Alphas in white t-shirts that say, security, are stationed around the perimeter for the purpose, I assume, of keeping people from sneaking in. My eyes scan the crowd inside and around the cordoned-off area, searching for Hunter. I don't see him. Not sure, I reply to Elle. I'm guessing they're selling beer for charity, like we sold cappuccinos. We come up to a long line of people waiting to get inside the party area, and I quickly realize we're not getting in. 21 and over. She steps to the side and takes a look at the sign for herself. Well, let's go back. I'm not paying $5 to go over a rope and watch people drink beer anyway. I can't argue with that, but I'm here for another reason, too. And there he is. Ah, but look! I point to a crowd over on the other side of the field. We don't have to pay to watch the entertainment. We both see Hunter and about 10 other guys in their football jerseys, shoulder pads, and shorts, getting ready to lift what I can only assume are full kegs.
Hey, Tassie, says a deep voice to my side.
I look up to see a giant tree trunk.
Henry, how's it going?
Fine.
He wiggles his brows.
Now that you're here, baby.
Baby? Oh, wait. Sorry, buddy. Don't waste your time. I'm not giving up the V-car to you. Dang, I did it again. Why can't I sound like an adult when I talk about sex? Henry's face contorts into something resembling confusion. Yes, Henry, I say. I know about the scavenger hunt, which is why I've decided that Hunter's getting the points. What are you talking about? Elle looks at me. I look at Elle and contemplate if I should tell her the truth. I didn't want to make her an accomplice, but she'll probably figure out our sham. It was her idea in the first place. I smile at her. Yeah, sleeping with me is supposedly worth 50 points now. It was Henry's idea, actually. Henry looks busted, big green eyes, mouth falling open, red face.
Well, I only...
That's horrible. Elle barks at him. Who would do such a thing? Do you have a sister? She places her fists on her hips and glares at him.
Well.
He scratches the back of his head.
Yeah, I have three.
How would you feel if some guys made getting into their pants a stupid game?
I'd be mad,
he says dejectedly. It is completely barbaric, and I love that Elle just made Henry see the light.
Sorry, Tassie.
Henry says in a quiet voice.
We were kinda drunk when we came up with that. I'll talk to the guys and have them take it down.
What? No. If they do that, then Hunter will lose the points. No need. Just promise you'll never put sex on the board again. But us women will let it slide. Just this once. But Tassie, Elle cuts in, that's just... I give her a wink-wink to convey hush-hush. I've already decided that Hunter gets to nail the virgin. It's going to be awesome. I sound like an imbecile. Elle crinkles her nose. Okay.
It's starting. I gotta go, says Henry. Did you place your bets?
Bets? Elle asks.
Yeah, pick your winner over there.
Henry points to another table not too far from the beer corral's entrance.
If your horse wins, your name goes into the drawing for a date.
With who? I ask.
The winning horse.
I see out of the corner of my eye that the guys on the other side of the field are lifting the kegs and placing them on their shoulders. You mean you guys are going to race, carrying kegs?
Yeah, man. It's a keg run. You really need to stop smoking so much weed.
Henry turns away and heads for the pack of horses. I shrug at Elle and make a little loop with my finger over my temple to indicate Henry is crazy. She nods, knowing I'm not a pothead. Ah, but the day is still young. Meanwhile, I realize Elle keeps glancing toward the direction we came from. She wants to leave. Come on, I'll buy you a ticket, I say. No, this is silly. Of course, but it's for charity. And I'm sure narcolepsy is one of those overlooked disorders, since people are always too sleepy to drive awareness for their cause. You're such a smartass, Tassie. It's a gift. We walk over, and I buy her a ticket for Henry. I get a ticket for Hunter. Apparently, the horses have to lap the park 3 times, hauling a full keg. Sounds brutal, to be honest. The gun goes off just as we step away from the ticket table. Right away, I can see Hunter is not going to win this. The other guys, like Henry, look like rhinos carrying rolls of toilet paper on their shoulders. One guy is actually running with the barrel pressed to his chest, like he's carrying a baby. Hunter is a big, strong guy, but more like a cheetah, lean and muscular, not a bulldozer built for hauling boulders. Still, I can't help smiling, because he's laughing his ass off, struggling to keep his keg balanced. Oh, come on, Hunter! Run! I yell. He sees me and shakes his head. The pack of rhinos are leaving him in the dust. Go, Henry! Screams Elle, to my side. You realize you're probably the only one who has a ticket for Henry, right? I ask. She blinks, and realizes that if he wins, she'll likely be picked to go on a date with him. Go, Hunter! She screams with a smile. Go, anyone but Henry! Luckily, Henry can't hear her over all the yelling. Hey, Tassie, says a cheery voice to my side. I turn and see Jennifer in a Got Sleep t-shirt. Hi, nice to see you again, I say. She gives me a big hug that takes me by surprise. This is my roomie, Elle, I say after Jennifer releases me. Nice to meet you. Elle flashes her gapped teeth. It's kind of cute the way she smiles. Reminds me of a little bunny rabbit or something. Same here. Jennifer bounces up and down. Who'd you guys get tickets for? Henry. I point to Elle and then raise my hand. Hunter for me. Aw, so sweet, Jennifer says enthusiastically. Never give up hope. She holds out her fist, and I realize it's that fist bump thing. That's definitely not proper geek etiquette, but I reciprocate anyway and do the whole hand explosion thing like I've seen in the movies. The pack of muscleheads shuffle by, grunting and sweating, and I go back to cheering for Hunter. He's literally laughing so hard, he's about to fall over as he passes us. I realize he's holding his keg all wrong, with the curve of the barrel pressed into his neck. With his shoulder width and body mass, the weight of the keg is resting more on the outside of his shoulder. How much do you think that weighs? I ask Al. My guess? It holds about 15 to 18 gallons of liquid, and water weighs approximately 8.35 pounds per gallon. So, with the metal container included, I'd say the keg weighs 160 to 170. She shrugs. Just a guess. That's a fair guess. I ballparked 150, but she's smarter than me, so I go with her number. And Hunter is about 6'2", and probably weighs about 220. I break from the crowd and run to his side. Switch to the flat side. Put the bottom of the keg on your shoulder and tip it inward toward you. Panting, he gives me a look.
Huh?
Shift more of the weight toward your center, bonehead. He rolls his eyes and winces, but then stops, wrestles with the 160 or 80 pound beast, and maneuvers it up onto his shoulder pad. He slides his hand through the slot at the top, which he barely reaches. Better? I ask.
Better. Thanks, my little nerd.
I frown, and he winks.
Get off the track!
The crowd starts yelling at me.
Okay!
I hold up my hands and go back to the spectator position. Before we know it, Hunter is closing the gap.
Ha! Huh, there! You see? Math isn't a waste of time!
I yell at Hunter as he approaches us on the second lap, looking like he's going to keel over, but still managing to hold his position in the middle of the pack of incredible hulks.
I don't need math. I have my nerd princess,
he barks back. I laugh and watch him move toward the front. His arms are straining, biceps rippling, neck muscles pulsing, and legs charging. He looks pretty sexy. Not that I care. Soon, they're on the third lap, approaching the finish line near us, when the crowd of a few hundred people amp up the cheering and the horses' egos kick in.
Go, Hunter! Move that tight ass!
I yell. Elle gives me a look.
What?
It's really tight, I say. She shakes her head, but laughs anyway. Hunter is almost to the end, second place, behind Henry, of all people. Suddenly, I see Hunter step on something, twist his ankle, and the keg goes flying. He follows.
Ooh!
The crowd winces in unison. I cover my mouth.
Oh, no.
I hope he's not hurt. Of course, none of the contestants stop to help him because they're all genetically part caveman and must win the race. I run along the side of the track and go to him. Hunter is clutching his ankle, rolling on his back, groaning.
Oh, shit. Are you okay?
I ask.
Yeah, just... give me a minute.
Elle comes up. Is he all right? It looks like he sprained it or something. I'll go get ice. She scurries off, and I kneel beside him with my hand sort of doing this weird tapping thing on his arm. I don't know if I'm supposed to touch him or not touch him or what to do. I realize I know almost nothing about sports injuries, but I can do the Heimlich and CPR. Henry and a couple of the guys, all out of breath and dripping with sweat, finally come over.
Dude, you okay?
Henry says.
I think I sprained it.
Hunter groans.
No, fuck no, dude. We have a game on Saturday,
says one of the guys, who I really want to kick. He's in pain, you moron, I say. Help him up so we can get him over to one of those tables. Henry reaches down and scoops up Hunter as if he were a little rag doll.
My fucking hero,
Hunter grunts.
Shut up. I'm trying to help, bro.
Henry grunts. They march past Elle, who's already holding a bag of ice. That's kind of adorable, isn't it? She says to me.
Sure.
Sadly, I'm now being shallow, too, because I'm already thinking about our plan and whether or not this will interfere. Nothing wrong with making sure the show goes on. I follow Henry inside the beer playground as they sit Hunter down in a fold-out chair and prop his leg up on another. Elle's quickly got the bag of ice in place.
I hope it's just a light sprain, because I'm really looking forward to having sex tonight like you promised,
I say loudly. Everyone around us falls into a dead hush and stares at me, including Hunter, whose blue eyes are shooting WTF arrows.
Sorry, I mouth. Too much?
Yeah,
he snarls under his breath.
Ha! Ha 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 ha!
I laugh exaggeratedly loud. Just messing around! The festivities continue, and I kneel beside him.
What was that?
He growls. I'm sorry, okay? I just didn't want to let everything get derailed because you decided to participate in the Thorathon for beer lovers.
Humph.
He looks away and jerks his head at a few gammas standing in their tiny tees and short shorts, looking over and chatting about him.
Hey, eyes over here, buddy.
I point to my face.
What? They're just friends.
No, genius, I hiss. They're not, because nobody is going to believe we slept together if you're not at least pretending to be into me, and, by the way, when were you going to tell me about the girl back home?
Hunter's chiseled features, cheekbones, perfect brows, straight nose and jaw, look like they've been washed away in a flash flood.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My brows furrow.
Bullcrap.
It is bullcrap. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, really? I stand up and cross my arms. Then let's ask some of the girls here what they know. I turn.
Wait, fine.
He leans in from his chair.
It's just a story I made up, you know, to keep them away.
Why? The color returns to his face, but his expression is as serious as... Okay, yes, a damned heart attack. I'm saying it again, okay?
I can't afford to fuck this up, Tassie.
He whispers. What?
This.
He hisses.
It's my only chance.
My mind usually outsmarts me, meaning it sees patterns and relationships before I ask it to. Images and thoughts, facts and memories flood my mind. Hunter's big change the summer before last, his father's business going under, the fights I've overheard for years flowing out of their garage, so many strong, harsh words coming from his dad that I often wondered how he could manage a smile the next day. Stupid. Loser. Lazy. The kinds of words that would scar me for life if my father or mother ever said them aloud. I know this because my own parents have merely implied they think these things about me, and I ended up in the fetal position. Conclusion being that if I were him, I'd want to get away too. What happened that summer before senior year? I ask. He jerks his head back, and toxic fury sparks in his intense blue eyes. His nostrils flare, and the veins in his neck visibly throb. The rage is so palpable that I step back without even knowing it. I've pissed him off. I've hurt him. And I don't know why. I only know that while I should show this guy no mercy after all the pain he's caused me, mercy is the only thing I want to give. I'll go, I say.
Yeah, good choice.
He scowls, still seated. Okay. I bob my head. I hope your ankle's okay. He replies with a turn of the head, and my heart sinks into the mud. I can't breathe. Not that I really want to. It's like that pain inside him is in me. Toxic empathy. Why? Why the fuck would I care and have such strong emotion for this gorgeous asshole? He's had everything handed to him for as long as I can remember, and I've succeeded despite him. Still, my thoughts don't match my heart, which knows I'm missing something. I can't do this, I think. I can't operate in this space where I don't know the rules or facts or understand the variables. I just feel bad. Really fucking bad. Before I know it, I'm just standing there looking down at him, blinking back fat tears. I don't know where they came from. Just like I don't know why I'm so upset, or emotional, or biting my lower lip so goddamned hard that I taste copper. I'm a cold mess inside. I need to go. Without another word, I turn and leave. There's this noise in my head, voices and conversations from the past that I don't remember ever seeing or hearing until now. I don't stop until I've reached my dorm room, where I slam the door, climb into my bed, and pull the covers over my head. What is happening to me? What the fuck is happening to me? Chapter 12. Friday morning, I'm up and showered before Elle. I head to my English class and push away the disturbing thoughts that haunted me the night before. I know whatever is jabbing at the back of my mind, it's not small. I know it's horrible, life-changingly bad. By 1 o'clock, I'm fairly sure that whatever this is, it's going to trouble me until I confront it. But that's the thing. I don't know what it is. I only know two things. I don't want to remember it. And two, neither does Hunter, because he's never mentioned it. Whatever it is. I skip history and biochem and head straight to Hunter's dorm. 10 minutes of knocking on his door tells me he's not there. Standing in the hall, 2 floors above mine, I'm about to head for the Alpha House, but think twice. Even if Hunter is not playing today, he'll be at practice. I turn and head for the stairs. I don't remember walking to the stadium. I don't remember climbing the stairs to the bleachers or looking down on the field.
I only know Hunter is shaking me, saying my name.
Tass. Tass?
I blink and gaze into his eyes. Hunter?
Tass, what's going on?
He asks. I'm a wreck, that's what. I must look like a crazy person, because he looks worried. Really worried. I don't know, I say, looking down at my feet. What happened, Hunter? I look up at him, and it all explodes. My memories, blood, screaming, staring into Hunter's eyes as he's asking why I won't say anything, why I'm pretending like I don't remember. I'm telling him he's stupid and crazy, that I don't know what he's talking about, which only upsets him more. But now I do remember. Fuck! I cover my mouth. Did you kill someone? I whisper, because all I see is a memory of Hunter doing just that, and I think it's because of me.
Drink this.
Hunter shoves a bottle of water into my hands. I have only a vague recollection of going to his room, but I know it's his. His framed high school jersey hangs on the wall. He lifts the bottle to my lips.
Drink.
I sip, but I'm not thirsty. I'm sad. I'm confused. What's going on, Hunter? I whisper.
Payback.
He mutters and hobbles over, sitting down on the bed beside me. His ankle is bandaged and he has ice packs strapped to it. He folds his large hands in his lap.
You really don't remember?
No, I whisper. Not everything.
They hurt you. I stopped them. That's about the gist of it.
I wince and look at his face, searching for some hint of what the hell he's talking about. Who? When? He looks away. Hunter? Fucking tell me! He wrings his hands so hard that I physically feel the pain.
It was the last weekend in July. I just got home from football camp.
I blink and suck in a sharp breath. None of this sounds remotely familiar, but there's a pain in my chest I'm too smart to ignore. What happened? I prod. He shrugs.
We were drunk. You were walking home.
And?
At first they just pulled over and said some stuff to you. I didn't even realize who they were talking to. But then I heard your voice. You were yelling at them, telling them off or something. They got pissed and got out of the car. They wanted to throw you in. They wanted to do things to you.
I press my hands over my heart. What the fuck? And you let them? Why don't I remember? Why? His head whips up.
No, I didn't.
My neck muscles contract, my stomach knots, my hands fist.
That's the fucking problem,
he says.
I didn't let them.
As expected, my mind offers explanations I don't ask for. But in the recesses of my memories, I see Hunter pushing one guy back, and then a fist hitting Hunter in the jaw. Then I see Hunter's hands hit back. I think I know this guy fighting with him. He's older than us by a few grades. Some jock Hunter used to hang out with when he was a freshman or sophomore. I'm not sure. I see more flashes, like snapshots in a photo album, of the other guys pulling Hunter off the body on the ground he's beating to a pulp. Hunter stands and stares down at the immobile lump on the ground. It's dark, but the headlights of the car, facing away, are enough for me to see there's blood. A lot of blood. Hunter looks at me and says,
Run, Tassie. Run home. You were never here.
Trembling, I take a sip from the water bottle in my hand, my heart racing. I just can't understand where these memories went, or why Hunter never said anything. I let out a slow breath. All this time, I figured it was your dad or girl problems. Hunter gets up and sits across from me on his roommate's bed.
No.
Did you kill him? I ask in a quiet voice, because I don't really want to know, but I must.
Almost.
Thank God. In my memory, the guy looked dead. How come I never heard anything about this?
I was a minor. The other guys weren't. I told them if they didn't say I acted in self-defense, I would make sure everyone knew what they were really up to that night, why I stepped in. So they agreed. and they agreed to keep you out of it, so they wouldn't go through life with a sexual predator tag on their names.
But still, I think I would have heard something in the news, or... I run my hands through my hair.
My parents agreed to settle with the other guy's family out of court if they kept it out of the press. But there were days and weeks and months when I wasn't sure what would happen. I kept expecting the police to show up and arrest me. And then there was you, and trying to keep you out of all that. It was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I stand, cross over to him, and sit beside him. My heart is pounding so fast, and I want to throw up. I'm in shock. Thank you, I whisper, facing forward. I don't know what else to say. I used to think I was strong. I was smart. But now I'm just human. Weak. Flawed. Vulnerable. I spent all this time caring about something that wasn't real. Hunter was just some stupid jock, and I was better than him. My destiny and self-worth were hinged upon becoming a tri-cap. I didn't do better in school because I was picked on. These were just a few of the lies I'd been telling myself. None of it was true or important or real. This is real, and I'm wholly unequipped to deal with any of it. Thank you, I repeat.
Chapter 13. Later that afternoon, I wake to a set of warm arms wrapped around my body. The bliss of being snuggled next to a strong man is quickly overridden by two things. One, I'm not quite sure where I am at first, and when I remember, the memory of this morning's conversation is included. Oh, God. This is really happening. I don't know how I feel, other than I'm grateful and sad. Hunter nearly ended someone's life 2 summers ago, and it was because he'd cared enough to step in. The rest, I assumed, was a question of legal acrobatics to keep him out of hot water, but the financial burden on his family. Oh, God. This is why his parents can't afford to help out with school. It's because of me and all the money they had to pay to keep it quiet. I slide my cheek over Hunter's chest, feeling the heat of his body against mine and the soft murmur of his heartbeat in my ears. Now that I'm awake, really awake, I can't sort out our next steps. Are there any? Everything I've just now learned is in the past. Done. And talking more about this seems unnecessarily painful. Especially for him. And I don't want that. I don't want him to suffer any more than he has. But still, I need to talk about this, or process, or something, and talking to anyone else is betrayal. That leaves me with one option. Pretending. It never happened. We move on. He goes in his direction, and I go in mine. But that's not what I want either.
Tess, you awake?
Hunter says, rubbing my arm with his calloused hand. Yeah. I guess I didn't sleep much last night, and it got to me. Really, I think my brain needed to shut down for a few hours, because my heart is in pain. How could I not know all this?
You okay?
He asks. I'm not sure, but... I sit up and rub my face. I need to be smart, and handle this the right way. For him, not for me. I want to say something.
Okay.
I hesitate for a moment, reaching for the right words. First, you need to know that there are no words to express how grateful I am.
Okay.
And I can only imagine what you went through and how hard you've had to work to put this behind you.
Okay.
I continue. So you should know that just because we never speak again doesn't mean that I won't be thinking of this every day for the rest of my life. He sits up, blinking those blue eyes at me.
Did you just say you're never speaking to me again?
I hold out my hand. Wait, that didn't come out right. What I meant is that I can see I'm just a reminder of this horrible thing that happened, and I feel like you deserve better. You deserve to put it behind you.
Tess, I have.
Have you? Because of the look on your face when you told me, and the...
I'm fine.
But how can you even stand to look at me?
For such a smart person, you can be a little dense sometimes, Tass. You didn't do anything. Those assholes did. So I did something back because there was no way I would have let them hurt you. Not ever.
Oh. His words shock me a little and leave me wanting to ask why. But that would sound ungrateful and bitchy, like I don't think of him as a good guy capable of doing heroic things. Clearly that's just not true. He's maybe the bravest person I've ever met. Unlike me, I buried it all like a complete coward. So, I'm not just some horrible reminder of the night your life went to hell? I ask. He smiles and shrugs.
Well, maybe just a little. But you'd irritate me either way, so I don't see the difference.
His little smile turns into a shit-eating grin. Ha ha.
And it resulted in having to take some anger management classes, which I can't say were all bad. It's definitely helped me mature. Unlike you.
He gives me a little push, and I nearly fall off the bed, but he catches my arm and pulls me closer. Hey! I protest, but suddenly realize our noses are inches from each other, and our eyes are locked. That feeling in my stomach hits me hard. Uneasy flutters and knots and... Wow! I jolt to my feet. I should go. I point over my shoulder. I have stuff to do. Like... Quick, say something nerdy and convincing. Like alphabetize my underwear.
Sure.
He looks a little... Okay, I don't know. Amused, I suppose. We'll talk soon. I start backing toward the door.
What about tonight?
Tonight? I ask.
The chick flick thing at the tri-cap house.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. I suddenly feel like none of that matters. I think, I crinkle my nose, it's time for me to reevaluate that whole thing.
I thought you really wanted to get into that sorority.
I don't know what I want. Everything feels different for me because this isn't a game anymore. This is real. Very real. And so are my feelings, which are a mess because they're telling me that Hunter means a lot more to me than I realized, and perhaps he always did. More shockingly, I might mean a lot more to him, too. Or not. It's a lot to process. A lot.
You want to quit?
He asks. Why did he have to use that word? Quitting is practically losing, and that's my Achilles heel. No, I'm not saying that.
You want me to still tell everyone we slept together?
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I suppose a deal's a deal, but I wonder if we shouldn't throw in the towel. Okay, but he just told you he saved you from those guys. Let him get his point so his housing situation is resolved. Was it any good? I ask. He flashes one of those dimpled smiles.
The best.
I don't know, Hunt. I think it was a little fast. I mean, I can't even remember it, so... His jaw drops.
It was good. Amazing. You had the time of your life and orgasmed 3 times.
Hunter simply saying those words instantly sets me off. My nipples tighten, my core tingles, and I need to get the hell out of here. Okay, sure. Yep. 3 screaming O's. See ya. I jerk open the door.
Where are you going?
Clearly, I'm a coward and running away from you because I'm not ready to feel like I already do. Damn it. I'm not making any sense again, I think, as I'm speedwalking down the hall.
Hey!
Hunter screams.
You forgot your panties, so I'll bring them by at 7 when I pick you up for movie night.
Horrified, because the handful of students lurking in the hallway are staring and smiling, I glance over my shoulder. Nice, Hunter. Real nice. Of course, my panties are right where I left them, on my ass, so he's just doing it to mess with me. Case in point, he's desperately trying not to crack up. I'm about to throw out some vengeful comment about tiny penises, but I realize I don't feel much like playing the hate game anymore. Just like I'm not quite sure I want to continue the charade, at least for myself, or get into the tri-caps. I really want to step back and reevaluate the whole enchilada, including these feelings I have for Hunt. Oh, God. I think I'm in love with him. And perhaps I have been for years. I take the stairs, absolutely desperate for a big, fat, smart brain to converse with so I can process. I won't tell Elle about what Hunter did to those guys. Not my secret to tell. But I will explain the crux of it. She'll get the picture. She'll know what to do. I get to my room, slip my key from my pocket, and open the door. Hey, Elle, I immediately realize she's not alone. In fact, I'm staring at a huge pair of shoulders and a bare, muscled ass wedged between two small kneecaps. Holy shit! I close my eyes. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I turn, slam the door shut behind me, and stand in the hallway. I can't believe it. Little Elle was getting down and dirty. The door opens, and out steps Henry in his boxers, his clothes and shoes all wadded up in front of his crotch.
Hey, Das. What's up?
He jerks his head and strolls away nonchalantly. I can't believe this. I just can't. I go inside my room and see Elle in her bathrobe with her freshly fucked hair. Hey, Tass, she says casually. Don't hey, Tass, me. You screwed Henry? She shrugged. I prefer the words had sex or intercourse, but yeah, we humped like a couple of randy farm animals. Okay, then. And how did this come about? I won the date yesterday. He asked where I wanted to go. I said, come to my room after class tomorrow. He said, okay. She blows out a long breath. And wow, I can't tell you how badly I needed that. Complete stress reliever. Who are you? She grabs her bag of toiletries and smirks. I'm a satisfied woman who just had her brains fucked out by a big, strong man. I highly recommend it. Very beneficial for endorphin production. She strolls by me with a grin and leaves. I'm completely jealous. Completely. And the only thing I can think of now is what it would be like to be with Hunter. Logically speaking, if everyone thinks we've had sex, what's the harm? Because I'd really, really like to feel as good as Elle looks. Liar. That's not why you're wondering. Chapter 14. That evening, I'm dressed in a short, light blue summer dress and white sandals. I can't decide if I really want to play this pretend game anymore, so I only go halfway on the makeup. Remember, Lainey and Jessica are supposed to believe that I caught Hunter simply by playing a part. Easy, not so smart, fun. And the original plan for tonight was to demonstrate that I have Hunter. Yes, big, ripped from head to toe, Mr. Hottie Quarterback, at my beck and call, completely whipped. Hunter is fully prepared to play his part, so I win the bet and become a tricap. There are only three problems. One, I cannot get this morning out of my head. The memories, though still foggy, hold just as much meaning as the fact that my brain went to great lengths to shield me from them. It's been eating away at me all day. Why would I choose to forget all this? How is it even possible? Two, I now question every decision I've ever made because my unshakable foundation, the assumption that I'm intelligent and or can think my way through any obstacle, is complete bullcrap. Example, this moment. I can't think my way out of this. Another one. I thought I hated this guy who I believed loathed me for the last 13 years. He didn't. Not entirely. I misread the situation or didn't want to see what was really going on with him. Did he tease me because he liked me all that time? No. But the assumption that he hated me no longer hunts. No pun intended. Twice, he stepped up to protect me. Twice. But that doesn't mean he's in love with me. That doesn't make sense either. I think he actually sees me almost like a sister or something. I got along with my big brother, but Rachel, my best friend back home, didn't. She always complained about her brother making her life a living hell, but also being very protective. My stomach curls with the thought. I don't want to be in the sister zone, mostly because of point number three. I can't stop thinking about how puzzling our relationship was and is
and how he evokes chaos inside me, mentally and physically.